Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast, our last one of the year before going on summer break. We will be back in August, though. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, and I'm joined today by sports editor for the UI Argonaut, Chris Dermer. We take a look back at the year of Vandal Athletics, the high moments for each of the major sports, before taking a look at the NHL and NBA playoffs and how we think those will play out here in the coming weeks, before finishing out talking about what is going on with the Los Angeles Lakers and our thoughts on that. Thank you all for joining us this year and for being loyal listeners. Hope to see you all back here in the fall. And as always, go Vandals. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, joined today by Chris Dermer once again. This is our final episode of the year.
That it is.
We'll take about a three-month break until we come back for school in about mid-August. We'll get this thing back up and rolling, but we're going to go like 2.5 months, 3 months without the Vandal Scoreboard, without talking about sports.
Crazy, crazy stuff, man. I'm glad I've been a part of these past two episodes, man.
Yeah,
part
it's
of
been
the big finale.
Been a great year. Yeah, I worked with Jonah Baker at the start when we were fourth and downtown. Brought Braden Kane on because he just wanted to talk about sports. And now I got you here for this one, and more likely than not, barring anything crazy happening for next year.
Definitely
been a great year, and that's kind of where we're gonna start things off here. We're gonna take a look back at this past 2018-2019 year for Vandal Sports and kind of detail some of the highlight moments we had for some of the major sports, are just kind of the bigger moments that have happened so far. So, Chris, starting off, you're our main football guy. That was your beat all year long for sports.
Definitely.
What was the biggest moment first for you for Idaho football?
Ooh, well, let me tell you, it was a very roller coaster type of season for Vandal football.
That's a great way to put it.
Let's start there. A lot of highs and a lot of lows,
mm-hmm.
Especially when a team doesn't win a single game on the road, but wins almost every game at home, except the finale.
Except the Montana game, yeah.
Except the Montana game. Especially in the way they lost the Montana game. Really left kind of a bad taste in fans' mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was the week prior to that was probably the shining moment for Vandal football, going up against North Dakota, who was ranked top 25 in the FCS. Going into it, it was going to look tough for Idaho because North Dakota is a very tough and physical team.
Yep.
Downhill type running. And somehow, Mason Petrino led a two-minute drive there at the end to win it for Idaho. In very exciting fashion. Maybe one of the most exciting games I've seen in the Kibbe Dome as my time as a student.
Yeah.
It was a big win, and it looked like it was a positive step in the right future to end it off. And then, you know, Montana happened the week after.
Yeah.
And we all know what happened there. But that North Dakota game, it showed something. It showed something that the Vandals are here to stay in Big Sky. And, yeah, there's some work to do, but, hey, they can make a run, I think.
Yeah, that was my exact moment. That was the exact moment I was going to bring as well, is that win against North Dakota wasn't the prettiest win. But, I mean, North Dakota, very solid team. They're, I believe, independent now.
Yep, they're independent
since
now.
They left the Big Sky. But it's still a very good team. We all of us here predicted that they were going to lose. We all predicted that North, because they laid the beat down to Weber State. They beat Montana, I'm pretty sure, earlier this season, too, for North Dakota. And we just flat out beat them. We won, and it was a great moment for Vandal football.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, we didn't have a ton of brightness this season. It was a pretty grindy, just get through it. But that was one of the few bright spots where it's like, all right, we didn't have the best team this year, but we can now take this and look to the future and say, well, now we got a shot. We know we can hang with these teams if we have the right pieces, the right game plan. And like you said, Montana, that mobile QB just ran all over us.
Yeah,
that team was they came in here with an extra, I think, a bigger chip on the shoulder, and they had their own freaking section of the Kibbe Dome dedicated to the Montana fans. So I mean,
the atmosphere in the Kibbe Dome that game was crazy as well. I mean, it just shows you how much of an impact there is now with Idaho being back in the Big Sky, just having those regional rivalries once again.
Yeah.
And filling the seats. You know, we're not in the Sun Belt.
That's the big thing.
We're not in the Sun Belt anymore, where Louisiana has to travel thousands of miles away. Like, they're not going to come all the way up here.
Yeah, South Alabama isn't going to bring a crowd.
No, no.
Yeah.
So, but having those regional rivalries back again is nice to have for Idaho football.
Oh, for sure. And so now we'll just kind of transition to, I guess, the most successful sport this season, women's basketball.
Yes.
They flat out had the best season across all of Vandal Athletics. I'll go first this time. The best moment, I'd say, have to come down to one or two things. One is Michaela Friends being the Idaho's all-time leading scorer. That's just for Idaho because she got Big Sky on the road, I believe, against Sacramento State or Portland State. But I would say that moment when she broke Idaho's all-time or became Idaho's all-time leading scorer, or when they beat Denver in Memorial Gym, I would say that might have to be the best moment because that is the most electric atmosphere I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Volleyball, soccer. Well, soccer against BSU, that against Denver, and possibly the first few minutes of Idaho versus Montana.
Wow.
Those three, through my first 2 years here, have been the most electric, and that Denver game might be just the most, just with how loud that place got when we went on that run in the third quarter.
There's something about the Memorial Gym, man. That's like has a high school type of atmosphere when teams go and play there. I love covering Mem Gym there. I think it's better than when they turn it up in the Kibbe Dome and stuff. Mem Gym, I think, is just because, I mean, for the amount of fans that we get for sporting events for men's basketball and women's basketball, packing it in there and the Mem Gym and just the electric atmosphere that can happen and how loud it can really get there is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that run that Michaela Taylor, Gina Marks, and they just went on that tear, and it, like, that was flat out one of the best moments I've ever been a part of. And so now some of the beats that I more covered than you is volleyball and soccer, since I do the play-by-play commentary for them as well. I'll just kind of run through these real quick just because I believe that they deserve recognition for what they were able to accomplish.
They had great seasons. Volleyball went on, like a huge win streak.
Yeah, they had Debbie Buchanan, the head coach for women's wrestle. She had her best winning season of all time.
Man.
They couldn't finish it off in the postseason, but that regular season run, they looked almost flat out unstoppable with Kayla Straw, Sarah Sharp, Haley Mathis. It's been a few months since I covered these. Just their names. Alicia Wadke. I mean, those players, they just flat out could play. And, I mean, I guess one specific moment I would have to be for them. It's kind of hard just to pick one, so I'm going to kind of just envelop kind of that whole winning streak because the defense that they had, and that includes Nikki Ball on the front lines, Reese Carmen as well, that team had some of the best net defense I've seen covering. Like, I've been covering volleyball that much, but that is a bar I have yet to see pass or no one really reach our team or an opposing of just being that level, that high level of play. And so I'm going to have to give it to just that winning streak that they were on, that energy that they brought, even though the stands weren't packed always, they still drew in a crowd, and they still performed every single time.
Yeah, volleyball has quietly been one of, like, the most successful programs the past few years.
I'd say, like, last five, 7 years.
And they
definitely
deserve the recognition, without a doubt.
For sure.
But what she's done for the program, it's amazing.
Yeah, and then going over to soccer with Jeremy Clevenger coming in as a first-year coach, this senior class of 10 members, I believe, since Kaylee Frederick will be returning as a grad student. I would say after the win against Idaho State at home, Battle of the Domes, Maya Marino getting the game-winning goal in overtime, being a play-by-play commentator, those are the moments that you live for. The game winners, the as time expires, the sudden deaths, those are the moments you live for. Seeing Idaho soccer, not always the best team offensively, but come through in those big moments and win that kind of game, that was, frankly, one of the biggest highlights for me. And I can't wait to see what they bring to the table next year, because although we're losing some key players like Kelly Dobke, Claire Johnson, Jocelyn Daggs, Bridget Daly, Megan Gu, Kayla Watanabe, I could go on and on and on, Michaela Presgrave. I'm very excited to see where this team goes next year, because I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I think they're still going to be top three team in the Big Sky. That is my bold prediction for next year, because this team, covering them in spring training, just every single game, they get better and better with these younger players since the older ones have been kind of banged up. Coming into next fall, don't be surprised if women's soccer makes a huge run and holds that top three to top five spots in the rankings and makes a postseason run.
That's a hot take.
My bold prediction for next year, because I have faith in Idaho soccer and where Clevenger is going with this team.
Okay. So, I mean, you could think about it. We were in that same scenario about this time last year with men's basketball, and look what happened there.
See, that's a possible downside to everything. There's always a really high positive, but there's also a really hard – really low fall with these kind of teams where you don't know what to expect from them. And I guess we can kind of go to men's basketball. I mean, it was a tough season. It just kind of keeps getting tougher.
Oh,
but there were still, there's two bright spots to this year, two. And they're both two of our Big Sky wins against Eastern Washington, which none of us really here for, and that win against Sacramento State.
Yeah.
I would say those two. That win against Sacramento State, it seemed like the right way for this team to go out on. Like, they had a really tough season, but to end it with a win and then almost get a win in the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a ton to take away, but we can still find some brightness in that very dark season.
It was the weirdest season ever for me covering it, because I just – something – I don't think anyone saw coming, really. I mean,
no,
we knew they'd struggle.
Not this bad.
No, we knew they would struggle. And a lot of it had to do with injuries. Losing Nate Sherwood was huge at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, Trayvon didn't step up when he needed to the most.
So yeah.
At moments. That Sacramento State game, definitely. And sometimes when he would step up, the role players around him
wouldn't
step up either.
Yeah.
So it's just a constant imbalance on when were they finally going to click.
Yeah.
And Verlin promised all season long, it's going to happen. We're going to get a win. I remember one quote he said, I don't know when we're going to win, but we're going to get a win eventually, which is the most, like, well, that's a weird statement to say, because when's the win going to be? This year, next year, 3 years from now?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that Sacramento State win was just kind of like a sigh of relief. Just like, ah, finally.
We
it's about
win.
Time. Well, at least, yeah, forgetting what a winning feeling feels like for men's basketball was definitely strange, especially the year before where they looked unstoppable in the Big Sky.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and then with everyone wanting to transfer now, including Cam Tyson, Cassius Smith, Xavier, Lucini Kamara, it's...
The turmoil is just, I think, far from over with the program there, and it'll be... a very interesting storyline going into next season with the new talent coming in, as well as why is all this talent leaving?
Yeah.
That'd be definitely interesting.
I will say this. From what I've seen in athletics and from what I've been talking with a few of the basketball players that I do know and kind of talk to every once in a while, Don Verlin has not broken. He has not – he is still staying strong. And I believe he's still coach. I believe he is still our coach for the next few years. I believe he is still a guy who can turn this program around. He finished at almost an all-time high last year in 2017-18. 2018-19 was definitely his low. Only 5 wins all season. But I believe he will turn this program around. I still have faith in Don Verlin. I haven't heard anyone say, oh, he needs to leave. We need to get a new coach. I believe he should stay, and I have faith that he can turn this program around, especially next year with Trayvon being our only senior.
Yeah.
This will be another young team, which, yes, we're losing a Cam Tyson, some of these younger players, but Jared Rodriguez looked very good this last season. Scott Blakeney looked very good. These guys, I believe, will step up. And then Jack, coming over from Oregon State, I believe all these guys will step up, and I don't know if we'll have a very successful season. It'll be better than last season, I believe. I believe we'll get...
I sure hope so. Anything can be better, I think, any season.
I think last season was a rock bottom, only 2 wins in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
But I believe that we won't...
3 wins?
Maybe.
3 wins.
Who knows? I mean, that's kind of the bar right now. But I believe that we'll have a semi-successful year. It'll be an upward trend. It won't be great. It won't be like, oh my God, we're competing for a Big Sky title. It'll be, we're competing. We're in games. Like that Northern Colorado game this year, we were in that in overtime, and Northern Colorado is the best teams in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
But after that loss, everything just seemed to fall apart. I believe we'll be able to hold things better a little bit next year. Yeah, we'll fall apart, and once in a while, I'll still think it's still a young team, but I believe things will start getting an upward trend next season.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Verlin is the problem.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach. I mean, talking to them mid-season last year when they were, I mean, at the lowest of the low with not having a Big Sky win in months, he still seemed very, very chipper and positive that, like, this team can turn it around. There's a future. Like, it's a process, you know? I think when it came down to it, it came down to some of the players not fully buying in.
Yeah.
With it, and just being so down in the low of like, are we ever going to get another win? Like, I spoke to a few players, and their spirits are definitely down. Just in the middle of the season, with like another month or so to go. When asking just to make a Big Sky tournament push, they almost kind of laughed on like, we'll see.
Like,
you know,
like you really think we're gonna do that?
That's very strange to hear, but hey, I guess you just have to be in their shoes to really fully experience it.
Yeah. I'd say with a lot of Vandal Athletics, coaching isn't the problem. I think we have very good coaches across the board here.
Definitely.
It's just a matter of players living up to the potential that they have or buying into a program, like you just said. I still think next year will be a very solid year. Like, women's basketball, I think, will take a step back. Not a huge step, but with you're losing two of the best players in program history.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, you're not going to be able to replace what Pierce and friends did. But Newley has a plan. And
Newley, another great coach, without a doubt. Yeah.
Newley, yeah. All trust in Newley.
Yeah, so, like, all the coaches here, like, I say, like, we have great coaches essentially across the board. It's just a matter of can they get their players to buy in and live up to that potential we saw when we recruited them.
Yep.
I think we have to do a mention to Sophie Hausman
I was just going to say that.
For golf. I mean, going to the Augusta Amateur, being a ranked player in terms of the amateur world rankings.
Yeah.
Very accomplished player. I actually got to talk to her when I was doing just a project for one of my other classes. We got to interview her. Very nice, very professional. Just a special mention to her for what she was able to accomplish. Back-to-back Big Sky Player of the Year for women's golf.
Amazing. She's definitely going to get on the pro tour. One way or another, she'll be there.
She will be a pro. I have no doubt in my mind about
that. She's going to do phenomenal. I mean, being invited to Augusta, one of the first bunch of women to be invited to Augusta. That's amazing to be a part of just that atmosphere. I mean, there's nothing like it in golf, really.
So. Yeah. I would also say women's tennis. We don't really cover that. That's mostly Brandon Hill.
Yep.
Although he is leaving, he is the main guy who covered tennis. And reading some of the stories towards the end of this year, women's tennis they didn't end it the way they wanted to, which I think was kind of a theme this year. Teams not ending the season the way they wanted to.
Yeah, definitely the theme for Vandal Athletics. But
huge shout out to them because they, from what I heard, had a tremendous season as well. Just didn't end it off the way they wanted. And hopefully for like men's tennis, men's golf, swim and dive, I'm going to give a special shout out to them because they also had that's been a few months removed, but like our own Emily Bernil covered them for Inside the Vandals, and they had one diver who won the WAC 4 straight years.
Wow.
In terms of diving, I'm pretty sure, just kind of off the top of my head, but shout out to them. It was a pretty solid year for Vandal Athletics. A lot of highs, a lot of lows.
Definitely.
So hopefully looking up to 2019-2020, we'll have more highs to talk about than lows.
Yeah.
All right, and now we will transition to the NBA playoffs, because that seems to be the only real thing that is kind of going on right now outside of the beginning of Major League Baseball. But, I mean,
NHL playoffs, man.
NHL playoffs
has been heating up. So.
I need
You got to get into that, man. You got to get into some hockey.
You know what? Let's just do that right now. You're a bit more into hockey than I am. But, I mean, let's just kind of talk about it real quick. I mean, I saw the Avalanche loss yesterday to San Jose, I believe.
Yes.
In game 7, St. Louis also won against Dallas.
Yes, they're on to the conference finals now.
Boston Bruins are in the Eastern Finals as well. And then who's that second team?
In the East Finals, we got the Bruins and we got the Hurricanes in the East.
So the Hurricanes are still in it. That was one team I saw.
Yes, the Hurricanes are in it. You saw the Avalanche lose to the Sharks.
Yes.
Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. And that Jordan Smith, another guy inside the Vandals, he's a huge Avalanche guy. He knew they were going to force a game 7, but he even said himself, like, winning the game 7, that's going to be the big thing. But San Jose,
San Jose is a really good team.
For sure. I even know that, and I'm not a huge hockey guy.
I'm a Vegas fan, Vegas Golden Knights, go Knights. So it was very upsetting seeing, the Knights blow a 3-1 series lead to the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks, they never quit fighting. There were two games against the Knights where it went into double overtime, and just overtime in general. And I just had a feeling like the Sharks are going to figure it out one way or another. And they did.
Yeah.
And now look at them. They're in the finals, and I think they can definitely make it to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
For the safe bet, I will definitely say the Sharks and Bruins in the Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
But there's something about the Hurricanes as well, that they've been making a really, really late push as of late. Basically, at the start of the new year, they had one of the best records during the midseason.
Which is weird. You don't really associate the Miami Hurricanes as a team in terms of hockey to be like one of those, to be a team that could make it this far.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Carolina. That's my bad. Yeah.
Miami Hurricanes. That's
college football. I was thinking of like the Florida Panthers because
The Carolina Hurricanes.
That's not usually a team you associate with. most casual hockey fans like myself, you don't really associate them to be one of those teams postseason runs. But
like
I mean,
they had a good run towards the end of the season there, but no one really expected them to make it this far.
Exactly.
And the fact that they have and they're pushing, them and the Avalanche both, for them to being like lower seeds to push this far into the playoffs is some pretty great. But like I said, yeah, the Bruins have been playing exceptionally strong as well as of late, so I could definitely see a Sharks and Bruins final.
So I actually just got a notification right now about my Seattle Seahawks.
Oh.
Doug Baldwin has been released.
Oh, that's huge.
After he failed the physical.
That's huge. Breaking news here on the Vandal scoreboard.
So this – do not be surprised if Doug Baldwin retires if you're a Seahawks fan. That is what I'm getting from this.
I heard he was going to retire.
Because of injuries. So, I mean
– wow.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport just reported – the Seahawks have released wide receiver Doug Baldwin with a failed physical, potentially ending his storied career.
Wow.
So as a Seahawks fan, this is...
yep.
That hurts.
There goes. Sorry to say, but that's probably the end of Baldwin's career.
Yep. I would say because he's a Seahawk. He is a Seahawk. If he can't play in Seattle, I'm guessing Seattle wasn't just like, oh, hey, Doug, by the way, we're cutting you. It's probably like, all right, like, listen, we are...
yeah.
This happened. Doug's probably like, I can't play anymore if I failed this. Like, in
yikes.
So I interrupting NHL playoffs, but that as a Seahawks fan, that is something that you just kind of have to talk about, because that is Doug Baldwin is a fan favorite and one of, in my opinion, not a top tier wide receiver, but a very, very good wide receiver in
the
NFL.
Definitely. I mean, he's the number one receiver there for the Seahawks.
So to lose him, that's a big hit to our production. So hopefully DK Metcalf, I'm looking at you, Tyler Lockett. You guys got to step up. This will be an interesting season. Ian Rappaport just did a follow-up tweet as well. My understanding is that this is likely the end of the road for Doug Baldwin just based on his health. He's battled knee, groin, and shoulder injuries. One of the coolest stories of the last decade.
Man. Ian Rappaport, man. One of the best reporters there is.
Classy guy.
Providing for the NFL Network and the Vandal scoreboard.
Yep.
Crazy.
Main man right there, Ian
Rappaport. That's crazy, man.
All right, but... I mean, just kind of bouncing back to the NHL playoffs. I like St. Louis because I'm an underdog kind of guy.
Okay.
And they are certainly an underdog. So I'm getting Bruins, St. Louis, Stanley Cup finals. That's who I want to see.
Okay. I'm going to go Sharks, Bruins, and I think the Sharks can win in six.
I think the Bruins will win in seven if they face St. Louis. I think it'll just be one of those series that goes seven and Boston will win it. That's just my opinion.
Crazy.
I was gonna say we can talk about this.
Winning a national championship. That's wow.
I know.
Like that doesn't happen every other year or something.
Yeah, most spoiled fan base ever is New England / Boston. But it's whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins as a guy who doesn't watch a ton of hockey, Bruins always seem like a safe bet to win the Stanley Cup.
But speaking about Boston, we move on to the NBA playoffs now, Zach.
There you go. Great transition right there.
Not so hot over there.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving, now almost unanimously across just sports media, he is out of Boston. He is leaving. He's gone.
He's moving on to the next thing. That's what he said.
Where do you think he'll go? Okay, so just first up, how that series ended. Milwaukee wins four straight, wins the series 4-1 after losing game one in Milwaukee.
Paul Pierce just had to open his mouth. You know, he had to say,
"Oh, this
it's
series
over after one game."
If you say it's over after one game, unless it's like a 80-point, unless it's like a 50-point blowout where one team just looked totally just outmatched, that's the one time you can say I think that you say I think this series is over. You don't say never say this series is over after one game in the series. You never say that.
And it culminated after that. Then fast forward to now, it culminates in
blowout.
The Bucks having over a 20-point lead with Paul Pierce chance going in Milwaukee. Paul Pierce sucks.
Paul Pierce sucks. Paul
and
Pierce
sending
sucks.
The Celtics home. I mean, and that's probably the end of Kyrie Irving being a Boston Celtic. He just never looked happy all year long.
Two years. I've never seen him happy in Boston.
I mean, he was the leader of Boston this year. He was the,
undoubted
leader.
You're using that very, very loosely in terms of leader, because I don't think he was much of a leader this year.
I mean, from what we hear in the locker room, they all really respected Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
And I think the way that Kyrie leads, it's lead by example. And the way he led wasn't the best at times.
Yeah.
And some of the things he said to the media was strange. Just his body emotions in general. Just
mm-hmm.
he never He never really looked that enthused.
No, yeah.
And as another team, we're just waiting for them to finally click, you know, with all this talent for the Celtics, waiting for them to finally click. Never did. So
Jason Tatum never looked right this year compared to the player we saw last year. No. Jaylen Brown looked better. Jaylen Brown this series and this postseason was what Jason Tatum almost was last year.
Definitely.
Just kind of took over, had a very solid season. But it's just like Jason Tatum, he just regressed this year. He just flat out took a step back.
Which, I mean, that's not saying he didn't regress like a lot. I mean, he set a very high bar.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like last year, people were saying, oh, he's possibly a top 10 player next year, most improved, easy. And then he just doesn't live up to that kind of level.
Yeah.
This is by no fault of his own. He just kind of set a high expectation we all expected him to reach.
Yeah. But definitely, I mean, we got to give credit to Milwaukee. I mean, it's not a series that the Celtics just lost. I mean, the Bucks flat out beat them.
Giannis, MVP game, candidate. Yeah. Right? I mean, he's probably the MVP.
Yeah. I mean, games 2 through 5, I mean, they just dominated at every level. Just in their heads, got in Boston's head, and just how it dominated. I mean, I don't know how to explain Milwaukee's success. I think they're definitely going to the NBA Finals. Like I said, whoever won this series is going to the Finals, and Milwaukee did it.
I would say if Toronto wins, we're going to have an interesting
series. It'll be interesting.
But I just think, I agree with you, Bucks just have way more talent across the board than Toronto does, and they are much more consistent. Toronto, Kawhi needs to drop 30, and even if he doesn't, you need to have Pascal Siakam have a big night, Kyle Lowry to have a double-double with like 15 points, 10 assists.
And they definitely can. I mean, Siakam definitely.
And Marc Gasol is still there. Yeah,
Siakam for the Raptors is definitely one of the most improved. I think he wins most improved player.
I think with
what he's been producing this season. But yeah, I mean, it will be definitely interesting if it is Toronto and Milwaukee in the East Finals, because just that matchup of Kawhi versus Giannis, very, very interesting to see what all plays out there. If Kawhi is, I would assume, get the defensive duties for Giannis.
Oh, so. I think he for sure will. All right, I'm going to ask you a question on this. What's the likelihood that Kawhi re-signs with Toronto this offseason? And if so, what level will they have to reach requires, like, all right, I'll give this another go for 1 to 2 years?
I think they have to make the NBA Finals.
Okay.
And I think they have to make it interesting.
They can't get swept. They can't lose in swept or lose in five.
No. Maybe even if they lose like in a game 7 in the East Finals, you know, but I think you have to at least make the NBA Finals to have a good chance of keeping Kawhi. I mean, no one's going to know. It's just like Kyrie. Nobody's going to know. Or Kevin Durant, for that matter.
Yeah.
Those three players. Nobody knows where they're going to go except those players. We can speculate all they want, but
yeah,
especially with Kawhi. I mean,
No one knows what goes on in the enigma that is his head.
He's the biggest mystery in the NBA.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you have to definitely make the NBA Finals to try to keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
So,
reportedly he's really considering it now that things are clicking. Kawhi just doesn't feel like Toronto. Like, it doesn't feel like he's, like, embraced the city like DeMar did. DeMar is a very special case because he embraced Toronto like it was his second home.
I think – but the way I feel is when I found out that Kawhi was going to Toronto, I was like, that's weirdly, like, the best place for him to go. I mean, it fits his personality. I mean
– that is true.
The outcast Toronto, I mean, they're, you know, from the rest of the NBA. And then Kawhi, who's the biggest mystery in the NBA, perfect click. Perfect fit. I mean, if there's any questions, it's not Kawhi. It's possibly Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
But
because the whole thing with Kawhi was that he wanted to get the shoe deal. He wanted to get the endorsements because he felt like he was that kind of player. And I believe he is. He is a superstar in this league. He's one of the best players in the league.
Top player for sure.
So that's one thing I was going to touch on as well is just what you just said, is that him being that kind of outlier, the guy who was never fully recognized for what he was, Toronto, kind of that city as well. They're always just, it's just Toronto. It's in Canada. Like, it's just one of those Canadian teams. It's just like, whatever. They're just up there. They don't really make a noise. I would agree with you that they have to make the finals. They have to make it interesting. And if so, then that'll start getting a push. He can start getting some leverage there. Maybe move Kyle Lowry out, bring in another guy.
Yeah, I mean, Fred VanVleet is definitely capable.
Fred VanVleet, I mean, maybe Kemba Walker, he's a free agent. Maybe Kawhi is able to maybe recruit him up, unless LeBron snakes him over to the Lakers.
The Lakers are such a mess right now. We don't even know if the Lakers want LeBron. So
we're definitely going to if we have time, we're definitely going to touch on the Lakers and the entire mess that is going on in LA right now, unfortunately for LeBron. But next up, so that kind of rounds out the Eastern Conference, or I guess, who do you think? Do you think Raptors close out this series?
I think so. I definitely think so.
In six,
I think they close it out tonight in six. Yeah,
in Philly. Philly.
In Philly, yeah.
I think that it will go seven, but I still think Toronto is going to win.
Yeah,
because Philly is just too inconsistent.
They
have the talent. They're like, I mean, Embiid. You can't have eight turnovers and like 13 points. You can't do that if you want to be a star and be the leader of a team. Yes, he is battling upper respiratory problems, but I mean, you got it. Like, even then, it's the playoffs, man. If you have a bad game, that could be the deciding factor between whether you're in or you're out.
Yeah, I think they end it tonight. I think there's just, after last game and all, Philly's just, it's not happening, man.
Yeah. And then, free agency, that's another huge thing that we're going to be paying close attention to. We'll definitely talk about a lot when the new school year rolls around in August. But now we'll go to the West, Rockets versus Warriors.
Man,
so Kevin Durant getting hurt, out for the series with that calf strain, more likely than not.
What a series, man.
What do you make of this?
So,
how good of a chance does Houston have to dethrone the Warriors now?
I think there's a good shot. I think there's a good chance. I mean, it's weird. It's just like last year, you know, but the roles are reversed now. Houston goes up 3-2. Chris Paul goes down for a series-ending injury. And then the Warriors take it.
Yeah.
And now it's flipped where the Rockets have the opportunity to do the same thing. Granted, exactly like the Warriors, having to win at home and then win on the road.
Yeah.
Which I think they're capable of doing.
Okay.
But what was weird for me was watching the game last night and KD goes out. The Rockets come back. And in the final 8 minutes, James Harden barely has the basketball in his hands.
He shot it three times in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was so dumbfounded. I'm like, why? Like, you clearly dominate them. Like, play the ISO ball. Do what you got to do. You get to the lane. You're the MVP of the league, practically. Do what you have to do, man.
Yeah.
I get Chris Paul. You got to try to get Chris Paul going and try to get Eric Gordon going. But clearly, they were not really on having great nights.
Yeah.
So give to James Harden, who's been very reliable.
So one thing that, like, Chris Broussard, Jalen Rose, the things that they've been kind of saying is that James Harden is just kind of gassed at this point. When KD has the ball, it's KD ISO. He does his thing, passes out. It's kind of like the Rockets just with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Harden and KD are like kind of the same people in those systems. But with KD gone, it's Warriors of old. The Warriors of 2016, where it's cutting, passing, always unselfish, always ball of movement, almost like the Spurs, how they were a few years ago. And with James Harden having to chase Klay and Steph all the way around, same with CP3, chasing Steph everywhere on the three-point line, that gasses you out and you can't do as much in the offensive end. So that's why I think it'll go seven.
I definitely think it's going to go seven. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I obviously won't be shocked if the Warriors pull it off.
Me neither.
I mean, this is – yeah, they don't have KD, but all it is just the same team, practically the same team that went, 73-9. So
– I mean, Andrew Bogut's back. It's almost the same
team.
It really is.
If anything, once KD left, it's like everyone else flowered again. Like, look at Draymond. Draymond had a great game last night.
Draymond.
Those three had great games. And then Steph, pulled it out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Klay was hot. I mean, Draymond was making a few three-pointers again, which is scary. and then Steph was being Steph. So it's definitely still going to be a challenge. But I think the Rockets – if there's any chance for the Warriors to finally get beat, it's now.
Yeah.
They're going to the finals, which, I think the finals will be interesting, especially if they play Milwaukee. But I think they're not going to win the Western Conference Final, or they're not going to get beat in the Western Conference Finals by Portland or Denver. I forget about Portland and Denver because they're almost – I mean
– it doesn't matter.
That series doesn't matter. Houston, even though it's an interesting series, it doesn't matter.
If Houston wins, then it gets a little bit more interesting. But if the Warriors win, they're going to win in five against Portland or – Portland will be a little more interesting, but I think Denver is just so inexperienced, and they're having Jokic is such a special guy, but I mean, they're just so not used to this kind of environment, and the Warriors are just so battle tested. They've been here straight years.
You could say the same with Denver as well. I mean, having to get forced by the Spurs in seven games, possibly another seven-game series here with Portland.
Yeah.
So I think Denver's definitely battle-tested, but at the same time, with having two seven-game series, how winded and just tired are you going to be?
Yeah.
But then again, there's no excuses for that when it comes to the playoffs and you're trying to win a world championship.
Yeah, so I want Houston to win the series, but I think Golden State will in seven.
Yeah.
And then who do you think will win the Portland-Denver one? I think it's going to be Denver in six.
I think it's going to be Denver in seven.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Dame time. It's going to be Dame time there in Portland.
Okay.
I think it's very difficult to beat the Trailblazers in Portland right now. So I think they're going to force game seven. And as of late, Denver's just been playing really well. So mm-hmm. I think Denver can do it in seven.
I'm a big Dame guy. I love Damian Lillard's one of my favorite players in the league. I like CJ McCollum. I like Enes Kanter. Like, I just like that Portland team. But I mean, after watching that game in Denver in game five, it's hard to have faith in a team when you lose by 30 and you just can't get anything going in the second half.
Definitely.
But like you said, Portland, entirely different environment. Dame gets it going there in the Moto Center. So who knows? Maybe they can get a blowout win, swing the momentum a little bit, and they'll make an interesting game seven. But we both agree Denver, more likely than not, it'll be Denver Golden State in the Western Conference Finals.
Which I think will be a fun beginning of the series, you know.
It'll be a good few games, yeah.
It'll be for like a good few games because I don't really know what I'm going to expect. I mean, I think from what's going to happen with this series, if the Warriors do move on, I think they finally will get that push of like, okay, we're back. Yeah. We're going to be fine.
Because then they're like, oh, yeah, we've been here before. Oh, yeah, the NBA Finals. It's right there. We just got to beat these guys.
And then at the same time, Steve Kerr has said that there's a chance that DeMarcus Cousins
can
come
that.
Back sometime, whenever, you know, which I would be very shocked by, especially how grossly his quad looked after he hurt it. But,
yeah,
hey, man. And if that happens, well, then forget anything I said about the NBA Finals. You know, they're
going to roll.
They're going to roll. But, yeah, the way it's looking, I really, like, my heart wants the Rockets to beat the Warriors.
Yes.
But mine's telling me, no, it's going to be the Warriors and it's going to be the Bucks in the NBA Finals. And I think it's going to be an interesting series, but I think – Let's do finals predictions here.
We're not going to be here for finals.
We can't go over anymore.
We got 20 minutes.
I think I want to continue saying it's going to be Warriors, it's going to be Bucks, and it's going to be Warriors in six.
Okay. I'll say what I want to happen. So first I'll say what I think is going to happen, then I'll say what I want to happen. Because what I want almost never happens, considering my final four predictions and pretty much my entire tournament. It pretty much went the exact opposite of how I wanted to go. So, because, yeah, Virginia won. And I want Virginia to win. But anyway, here's how I think it's going to go. It's going to be Warriors-Raptors.
Ooh.
Warriors-Raptors.
Raptors, okay. Because
this is what I think is going to happen, not what I want.
Toronto's finally going to get over that hump.
Kawhi is just going to go on a tear because Kawhi is just going to be that guy. And then Marc Gasol is going to be that guy. He's Marc Gasol better than Brook Lopez. I don't think so.
Marc Gasol is not having the best of the series, and he's not that big of a factor.
I think he'll turn it on, though.
He's not the big factor like Brook Lopez. I mean, Brook Lopez might be Milwaukee's best shooter on the team. Seriously, you may laugh, but look at his stats. Look at some of the tape.
Yeah.
Brook Lopez can shoot.
No,
I would take, and Marc Gasol can shoot as well, but I will take Brook Lopez over Marc Gasol right now.
I think that's our first big disagreement because I'm a huge Marc Gasol fan. But I mean, but in terms of what I think is going to happen, I think Kawhi will turn it on. They'll figure it out and they'll win in seven. Warriors will win in five or six against Denver or Portland, most likely Denver. And then Warriors will win in six. Win or five or six. It won't go seven.
No, I don't think it goes seven. I think game five is going to be huge.
Yes.
I think game five is going to be huge for the NBA Finals because personally, I think it'll be like a 3-1 lead.
3-1.
I think it'll be 3-1, and then maybe, I mean, most likely every team wants to win in their own, you know, arena, and that'd be, for the Warriors, it'd actually be a nice send-off for Oracle, you know, getting one last championship there. But if they do lose Game 5, I think it's going to force a Game 7, force Game 7, because having that turnaround and then going into Milwaukee, you know, a very fired-up Giannis, that'd be very interesting, and then it might go Game 7,
yeah.
but... So I will actually I will change it and say that the Warriors win in five.
Win in five. All right. So what I want to happen now. So what I think is going to happen is going to be Toronto Warriors in five. What I want to happen is Houston Milwaukee. MVPs going at each other.
Yes, I agree on this one.
Have it go seven in Milwaukee.
Oh gosh, yes.
Can you imagine two franchises that haven't been to the finals? In terms of Milwaukee, I believe since the 70s,
yeah,
since Sidney Moncrief was there, old school, before the three-point line was just starting out.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there. Oscar Robinson was there.
Yeah.
That team, been that long for this franchise to get there. And I think Houston, who hasn't been to the NBA Finals since Hakeem Olajuwon,
yep,
in, what was that, 94, 95, when yep, they went back-to-back. If those two franchises make it, that'll be the happiest I can be.
Yes.
Granted, last year I wanted Houston in the finals. That didn't happen because they missed 24 straight threes or whatever. Whatever that
happened.
Honestly,
I will be happy if any team but the Warriors makes the finals.
Exactly.
I'm just...
Warrior fatigue.
They're an amazing team, and yeah, without a doubt, they're one of the best, you know, I'll say dynasties there.
They have been. It's been 5 years of dominance.
Yeah, but it's just, man, it's getting old. We need some new.
It's that Patriot effect. It's the Patriots, Alabama Crimson Tide.
Definitely.
It is just Duke basketball. Kentucky was there. It's like just those teams that always seem to win. Everyone just gets sick of them. So, yes, Milwaukee, Houston. Two MVPs. Winner gets the MVP. Winner of this gets the MVP.
I don't think that's exactly how it'll work because then they've already know who the
it's
MVP
regular
is,
season. But I mean,
but yeah,
that's how in my mind it'll be.
Who do you think the MVP is? Right,
I think it's Giannis.
You think it's Giannis?
I think it's Giannis. Yeah. I mean, Harden had one of the best offensive seasons of all time.
Yeah,
but Giannis, just his, because the big thing I have a gripe with the MVP, and that's how I base on who wins it. It's the best storyline.
Like, yeah,
when
definitely.
Westbrook run it. Won it. It was because he didn't have KD. He was alone in OKC. He got the triple doubles.
Yeah,
He
broke Oscar Robinson's record.
Exactly, and like he broke the record that no one thought could be broken. He's done it two more times since then. He hasn't won an MVP. Think about Steph Curry. He was a 3-point guy. He changed the game, and then he did it even better the next year. That's why he was unanimous, because he did what he did to get the MVP and doubled it essentially almost. And it's like Derrick Rose, the young kid out of Chicago. Takes the Chicago Bulls to a one seed, even though LeBron should have won it that year. I mean, it's just like, it's the best storyline. I think Giannis now being the new king in the East, quote unquote, and taking this Milwaukee team and doing everything he did, having the best record, just pure dominance, being a point forward essentially. He's adding a 3-point shot now, which is horrifying to me.
Yeah,
if you're,
it's not fully there, but sometimes.
He can knock down one or two a game.
Which is scary enough.
Better than Ben Simmons. So,
yeah.
But I think because Harden did it last year where he had his offense, like he had his moment, he had his thing, but it's hard to replicate that back-to-back years, and I think Giannis will win it this season.
I definitely think Giannis is going to win it this season, but I think Harden deserves it more this year than he did last year.
No, yeah.
I think.
For sure.
I think it just kind of screwed him over that he did win it last year, which is weird to say because he's still an MVP.
Yeah.
But if he didn't win it last year, he definitely would win it this year, I think.
Oh,
because
without a doubt,
he's been on fire. And even playoff-wise, I think he's having a better playoffs this season than he did last.
It will all come down to this Game 6. It will come down to this. Yeah. If he performs in Game 6 and Game 7, that legacy of him, Game 6 against...
If he pushes the Rockets over the Warriors,
yes,
I think that he should be the MVP. Even though I know it's regular season, he's the MVP, not Giannis. I'm sorry.
That'll erase losing Game 6 against San Antonio a couple years back. That'll lose when they lost to the Warriors, I believe, 3 years ago in the Western Conference Finals. That'll erase last year, that awful performance in Game 7. That'll erase – well, not erase, but it will greatly be ignored or forgotten by a lot of NBA fans if he's able to dethrone the Warriors.
It'll solidify him as being a top five player in the NBA.
I'd say top five, top ten, top seven maybe.
Oh, I would say top five because I think he's already in the top ten. I mean, and you can definitely argue that he's the top shooting guard. I mean,
yeah, I would.
I think we have the top two shooting guards in that Rockets Warriors series right now with Klay Thompson and James Harden, who bring two totally different type of games. Mm-hmm. But if he can push over the Warriors, You're in the top five discussion, maybe even top three if you go to the finals.
Yeah, that's we're just have to wait to see what he does.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. If
there's
he's
a lot
able
at stake.
To do,
there's
if,
a lot at stake, and we're talking about Chris. Don't forget about Chris Paul here, who hasn't made his NBA finals before. So
he needs Chris to turn Paul, it up. He needs to turn it up to another level now. He has not done anything this series.
If he doesn't like. The Rockets' window, I think, is running out even faster than, like, the Warriors' window.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Paul's window of just getting to a championship is almost gone as well. So
it is just a pinch. Like,
yeah.
Like, a tiny pinch almost out of his hands. He needs to do that now.
Yeah.
This is time, but he needs to turn. He has been awful this series. I'm just going to say he needs to drop 15 points, 7 assists. That's a pretty low bar to set to a guy who is he's essentially their two guard now because Harden's the point guard now, essentially. But he needs to have a big night. He needs to knock down his threes. Eric Gordon needs to go big. Clint Capella. Shannon Sharp was talking about this today. He was like, Clint Capella, you might have the best plus minus from game five, but you are the worst player on the floor because he didn't play the best.
One thing I will say, though, is it's been a very strange playoffs, especially with LeBron being gone and just – in general, I don't think it's been that exciting. But Warriors-Rockets series, after the slow start it did have, it's been very exciting. And really, actually, even though the Warriors were up 2-0, all the games have been decided by like 6 points or less, I think. It's been a great series. And from what looking ahead in the conference finals as well as the NBA finals, it's a nice, bright future, I think, for the NBA and a nice cap off to the season. Yeah.
All right, you touched on LeBron right there. We have a few minutes left here.
Okay.
What? I can't swear on this.
Yeah.
So what the F is going on with the Lakers right now?
Let's say this. I don't know if we're doing a Mike Walsh, weird stuff in sports.
Or
this
Mike Leach.
Mike Leach, yeah. Mike
yeah,
Walsh.
So yeah, that Mike Walsh that was our, my
Mike Walsh is the great, media relations guy here at Idaho.
But yeah, I say this is our Mike Leach right now. Just what is going on with the Lakers?
It's not a headline.
It's not what we usually do, but we have to talk about this.
I don't know, man. I mean, for a while, they've been going crazy, but now I'm hearing that there's possible trade rumors of LeBron after last night. I don't think that's going to happen, but what the heck is going on, man? I thought Ty Lue was in the bag, and then they didn't offer him enough money. I don't think it was even the money. I think Ty Lue was looking for 5 years and some compensation if, he got fired, which – it's a smart thing to do, trying to look out for your future.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers were like, nope, we're not going to do that. So they're moving on with the search. And who knows who they're going to get now, because I think Ty Lue would have been a great fit, especially with LeBron.
Yep.
And you're making LeBron happy. And now LeBron doesn't get his guy. Who knows what's going to happen with the Lakers? And with all the turmoil and crazy stuff's going on now, who knows what's going to happen with free agency? I saw on Twitter today that there's going to be a protest outside Staples Center of Lakers fans with them being like angry towards administration and stuff. There some crazy things are going on there for Lakers. And then you look at the Clippers, who have started a great foundation.
Yeah.
Jerry West is doing great. If anything Lakers got to do, they just got to try to get Jerry West back to the purple and gold.
Yeah. There's rumors now that Kurt Rambis might be the coach.
Oh, God.
He has like a 68-167 record as a coach, and he's just in the front office now, the Lakers. Hoiberg, who was the old Bulls coach, he's rumored to maybe be in the running.
I don't think Hoiberg is anymore. Hoiberg's at Nebraska. He got a job with Nebraska, so he's the head coach there in college basketball. He's back in college basketball. He's out of the whole mess.
I heard that there were rumors that they might try and coax him over to the Lakers.
No,
but I mean, I
don't think so. He just signed the deal with Nebraska.
They were banking on Monty Williams. They were banking on getting him as
Monty
a coach.
Monty Williams went to Phoenix.
Yeah,
he's
5 year deal in Phoenix.
Well, he'll be there for a year, and then
he'll be there for a year. They'll win 30 games.
Because the Suns are so impatient, so.
But I mean, at this point, it's just like the Lakers. It's just like, what do we do?
I mean,
because you've botched almost everything that you could have. It's a weird NBA environment when Skip Bayless openly says he feels sorry for LeBron James.
Yeah.
And anyone who thinks LeBron is the GM and has control of the Lakers franchise and gets things he wants, this is just proof. Like, this ain't Cleveland.
No.
He has no say whatsoever in anything that's going on right now.
Yeah, and I mean.
And now you see what happens to a franchise when you don't let your star player have a voice in how things should be run. This is what happens. Yeah. That's why I say LeBron is I'm all right with LeBron being the GM. Because when he does it, they made the finals with the Cavs. He made the choices that he made, and it worked out. And maybe in the short term, maybe not in the long term, but it worked out for some stretch of time where they had success. Right now, they're just a dumpster
fire. Honestly, the Lakers really are just like one or two superstars away from being decent. But with the turmoil and craziness going on, why does any free agent want to go to L.A.? Why does any free agent want to go to L.A.? You can say the same thing about New York with James Dolan and his craziness, but hey, there might be a Kyrie, KD, Zion team up in New York, which would be amazing. But the chances of that actually happening are very slim. Yeah. So
who knows?
The Knicks have to actually get the first overall pick to even have a chance at getting Zion.
I'm still holding out that Miami with that 1% chance. We're going to
– okay.
I'm still holding out hope that we're going to get
– we'll see.
That we're going to get it and we're going to turn this franchise around. Probably not. But, I mean – yeah, this is going to be a very interesting summer. I thought it might be boring. No, nothing's going to be really happening. Far from it.
Oh, far from it, man.
With the NFL.
NBA offseason is almost
with the NFL offseason, the NBA offseason. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll start getting into baseball. I mean, crazier things have happened, essentially, now. Because I hate baseball. Oh, my God. But who knows? Maybe baseball's I'll watch amazing, my Mariners man. A little bit more.
You got to love baseball. Go Yankees.
Go okay. Yankees. But I think that's all for us. I mean, we covered a lot here today. It has been a great year of Vandal Athletics and of just pure professional sports drama.
It has been
almost everything that we've wanted.
Zach, I'm excited for the break to get away from Vandal Athletics and the craziness. But, man, I can't wait to get back straight into football season. A few months away. It's fall camp time, and we'll see what happens.
August 2019. We'll be right back here. Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. We'll do our best to get more visual episodes out. We tried that this year. Didn't work out too well because things just essentially kept going wrong. But next year, we're going to try and put those out consistently week to week, visual and audio. We're going to have social medias up and running for this so we can start posting polls and other stuff like that online along with everything else that we do.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this year for what was the 4th and Downtown podcast and now the Vandal Scoreboard podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kellogg, joined today by Chris Dermer. You can catch out our works on thevandalnation.com and uiargonaut.com, which are seeing redesigns here soon. So
yes, you should be able to see that in August as well.
Be excited for that. You can catch us both out on Twitter. Those should be on any articles we write. Just check the bottom. We got our Twitter handles right there. Check us out on Inside the Vandals. That is also on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Thank you all for joining us here. We'll see you all back here in August. And as always, go Vandals.